Entrevista com Mauro Arrighi, 13 de maio de 2008. So Mauro, what's your background, and present yourself and say about your background, and in what have you been working on lately?
Okay, so I've been studying sculpture so far. So my bachelor degree is in sculpture. I took the bachelor at the Academy of Fine Arts in Venice, in Italy. Maybe 11 years ago. And then I started to work with digital media by my own. And actually, I'm involved much more deeply. I'm doing the master course here in Linz, and mostly I work with audio and interaction.
Could you please describe the projects you are working on?
Yeah, so there are several different projects. One is a group project that we will exhibit at the next Ars Electronica Festival in Linz and at the Biennale Architecture in Venice in September. And it is about let the people provoke people from the audience to create poems by using a device, a sweater, a jacket, and to do it, the audience, the wearers, have to touch themselves and touch each other. And then there are many other projects. For example, I've done a solo project in Japan, in Osaka, an exhibition in late March and April, and I used a really simple system. I used a set of three Bluetooth headphones, and I gave the headphones to the public in the gallery, and I hide the sources of the sound. So each one did a personal journey around the gallery to find the music, because in the beginning it's not possible to hear anything. And so each one of the people from the audience had to discover, like a hidden treasure, his own sound, his own music, and eventually guide other friends, other people wearing another set, the same set of headphones, to find the music. So for me, it's important right now to make the to engage the audience, to make the audience work together to get a result, to find the meaning of the work. Yes.
Which relations do you see between your work and other fields of knowledge?
I think that everything is connected, for me now even more than before, because for instance, I'm looking at psychology and social studies and also politics. Those elements play a very important role in my research, because I'm really interested to find out how people behave and the reasons that are behind every behavior. And I'm trying to use that knowledge inside my artwork. So of course, reading is important. Looking at many movies and and so forth. So, and especially the most important thing for me is to look at people, to look the way they move, the way they speak, the way they react to the everyday life tasks, and in a way to transfer this this feeling and those ideas into my research.
Who and what are your main references, aesthetics, philosophics, artistics, and so on? And what are the main concepts around your work?
Okay, when I started to be involved into digital art, maybe, professionally speaking, maybe 7 years ago, one of the most interesting artists for me has been Golan Levin and all the Media Lab crew, all the people from the MIT Media Lab, as Joe Maeda, for example, and of course I read the book of Nicolas Negroponte, and but recently I'm really deeply interested into all Japanese scene, and there are many artists. I could name it later, eventually. I don't the list is really long, and especially because Japanese artists, actually, they do have a peculiar attitude. They are able to cross the boundaries between design, art, market, of course, then also fashion design and object design. They really are able to develop one idea in many ways and with many techniques, and to spread their ideas into different market, how to say, and in different situations. And this is quite peculiar because, for example, from an European or from, I mean, a Western point of view, especially critics and history of art professors, they do criticize a lot this approach, which I really like, and I really enjoy the way they do their stuff. And I do not have philosophical, how to say, I could say that there is a person and which I admire a lot, and his name is Ernesto Luciano Francalanci. He's a history of art professor in Italy, and he's writing a lot of interesting books about design and art, and he is also politically involved. So in the end, when we as creative people do something, when we leave a mark, this mark is of course a political statement. So we have at least to be aware about what is going on and the meaning of our actions, because there are, we could do powerful things, we could really change eventually in a small degree, the life of the audience, maybe just for 1 hour or maybe just for a few minutes, but then we have to consider this power that we have.
You said that in some way the art historians criticize Japanese in the way they are related to the market.
Yes.
How could you say something else about it? How they criticize it?
Yeah. So as I understood, in Europe as well, in the United States, the curators and the theoreticians, they make a strong distinctions between an artist and a designer. For them, an artist has to present his or her artworks in an art gallery, where the works can be sold and or show the artworks in the museum where it's not possible to sell, where it is forbidden to sell the artwork. And for this is of course their point of view, this is the structure of the art market, it usually is like this. And but what many Japanese, new young Japanese artists are doing is that making a project, a personal project, and then exhibit that project in a exhibition, and maybe after 1 year develop the same project for a company and to sell in a, to sell it as a mass product, as Toshio Iwai did with Tenorion, I guess. Yes, the title of the work is like this. And if I'm not wrong, I think he did it with Yamaha then. It is a tool to do music, a new instrument to do music. Better to check all the information after a while. But and then there are other artists which do a painting, and some of the characters of the painting are also be found in other publications like graphic design or web design, and the artist, I mean the creator is the same. Some of the ideas are shared between the different solutions, but I mean the point is that I think Japanese artists are more free to express themselves and to sell their artworks in different scenarios, and I mean I'm not sure about if Japanese artists coined that term of has been coined by Western people, but the definition of this process and the definition of this kind of new way of doing art is called device art, and there are many many clever examples which engages also with technology, of course, the connection between people, technology, and behaviors in our mass mediated society. This is also another important part of this, of their research, and I'm really fascinated about this. Yeah.
How is your work process from the creative process to the execution of the work, and furtherly to the exhibition?
Mm-hmm. Since so far, I think that I thought that there have been no rules about the way I construct things. But recently, I take suggestions from what I've read and from specific topics, as one I mentioned about behaviors, about also some political issues, and I start by writing after having read a lot or having seen many things. I start writing to underline few main concepts, and at the same time I'm thinking how it could be seen or it could be heard, the result. And once fixed the idea, and so having made a statement, having wrote a few lines to clarify to myself the idea, also to being able to expose the idea to the people, I start to search for all the technical solutions. So I gather information from the web to find out which would be the best, I don't know, software or computer or whatever. And then sometimes I have to build because maybe it's something physical, so I need to get my hands dirty using cutting, a painting or something. Some other time could be a more light work, a more invisible, made by software, maybe by sensors, or using already, ready-made objects or technology taken from just out of the shelf, as the Bluetooth project, Bluetooth headphones project. And there is every time a big something that you will never know until you would not be in the place, because I do mostly performances and installations, and so the place, the location plays a big role, and so I leave, 20-30%, no, maybe 20% of open possibilities about how the work could be reinvented in a way in the new space, because there are every time unknown issues, and so I think that this part of the improvisation, and I would like to keep somehow improvisation as part of my creative process. Otherwise, it would be like, as I did in the past, do a painting or a sculpture and just send those items, or go to the gallery or the museum and put those things there. And I'm looking for something more lively, in a way.
What are the relations between your work and the available technology, and in which ways they are part of your everyday work?
I am not a good programmer. I am not able to write code. I mean, yes, I'm writing to a short extent, but I'm learning about how to write code and how to use the most advanced softwares. And I'm curious about the hardware and about the software and how to solve problems to get to the point where I want to be. But as more as I go deeply into this process of understanding and learning, as more as I feel that I don't want to be chained by hardware and software, because I had experiences of real performances. I mean, using my body, using the space and the common objects, the daily life, the things that we use every day, and in a creative way, to create the act. So I think that we cannot be blind just using hardware and software, and sometimes we should take the courage to say no. This time I'm going to use my body, just this, or someone else in order to achieve the result, because it's about the communication and it's not about projections, it's not about sounds in the air produced by electronical stuff. It is about thoughts and feelings, and so we will have never to forget that we could achieve the same result with sometimes even more power without digital tools or similar. And so yeah, we have to be aware about this.
What do you have to say about the media labs and spaces for exhibition of interactive art with digital bases? And I would ask you about, since the organization to the sponsorship, organization of the space, what kind of space is needed to develop this kind of work?
Okay, so I think that there are two main issues. One is, where it is possible to create those kind of artworks, and then second one is about where to exhibit the artworks in the digital art and electronic art fields. And of course, universities, labs are the only and the most important place where you should find important artists, professors, lecturers who are involved in this field every day and who love to teach to other their secrets in a way. So there are a few places on this planet where this happened successfully, and just to name a few, the interface culture in Linz at the Kunstuniversität is one of those places. In London there are the Goldsmiths College, another powerful and important universities, as we have been just talking about, already talking about the MIT Media Lab in the United States, in Boston. And in Japan, of course, the Yamas in Ogaki, Gifu. And also in Tokyo there are one or two important universities about this field. Because there are artists, famous artists, who are teaching there. Facilities are important, but I mean, I've seen in Yamas they do have really huge labs for few people, and they have a really a lot of equipments, much more than we have here in Linz. But this is not the point, because this is not the equipment at a certain degree which allows you to fulfill your dreams, but is the way you make your research, and is about the help you receive from the other students and from the professors to get to the point. Of course, if you would need to make a three-dimensional environment with a hundred of sensors, something even more complex than the cave, or I don't know, go beyond that, you need a lot of money, you need a lot of expensive equipment, space, and a lot of knowledge and technical stuff ready to help you to do it. But I mean, this is not the main purpose of doing digital art and to impress the public or making such kind of research. Is part of the research, is one of the choices. About the second point, so how to exhibit, where to exhibit. Big issue, big problem, because for instance, from my point of view, is the art market is not against, but is not happy to manage digital art. I mean, in the form of interactive video installations, or anyway, when the market cannot sell a product, I mean an object, as it is for digital art in general, it became an issue, a small or big trouble for the artists, for the labs and the universities. So there are few places and huge museums which are able to pay artists to exhibit their artworks. And mostly I've seen the experience that I had is that an artist who is involved in this area has to be a professor, he has to do performances, he has to do keynotes and presentations at festivals in other universities. And then exhibiting, he also exhibit his or her work, because very often it's not possible to buy the work, because the work is a kind of a creature, which is alive only at the moment of the exhibition. Then will be dismantled or packed and then. Unpack it time to time according to the places, and so again it's not like a painting which you can hang on the wall and you can sell because it's unique, but all digital art is not at all unique, it's a copy of a copy of a copy in a way, so all original or simulations. And yeah, so it is even more complex in a way for a digital artist to survive, but because he usually, I mean, the digital artist is also involved into performative actions and into lecturing, then is it possible to manage a life upon it?
And about sponsorship?
Unfortunately, I do not have any experience this about, because I did ever pay about my small stuff, but yes, some of the already famous artists are able to get huge sponsorizations. Especially for the equipments, because of technical equipments, so computers. So some brands are interested to be a partner, a sponsor of those artists, of course, to sell more of their products. But it's not so, for example, it's not so direct and widespread as for musicians. Because, for example, musicians, they get a lot of sponsorizations from the well-known brand of computers and softwares for audio, because they are much more visible than an artist. I mean, visual digital artist, it's not easy to get sponsorships, and this is my opinion, this is my experience, but I'm not that sure about it.
Okay. How do you see the interactor's role in your work, in the work you develop?
Do you mean interactors as the audience which do something with my...
The users of your...
Okay, the users.
I don't like to use users.
Yeah, I know. But this is a good point. I mean, also the way we describe the audience, the way we describe the users, because for an interactive artist, audience becomes user. And I have a different, I'm starting to have a different approach. I mean, because recently I've been looking at all those effort and idea how to please the audience, how to give the choice, chance to the audience to play with those tools. So one of the main goal of the interactive art is to let understand the audience how to use the artwork. So how to teach the audience how to play with this or that. And I came up with a new project, and it is about not giving any cue points, any information to the audience, and really disturb the audience and play bad, really bad tricks and jokes to the audience, because the audience is not, will not aware about the system. So this project could be also dangerous. I'm engaged into this because as a cynic reaction to the way usually all the interactive artworks are made. This is my point of view. So, what can I say more? If you would like to ask me more precisely, or if you have some doubts or...
These relations between your work and the process structure and the social system you live in? Sorry, I did the wrong question. Do you see relations between your work process structure and the social system you live in? And if you see, which are they?
Okay, so a more political question. I mean, the way I'm living, I mean, I spend my daily life, I think is not, how to say, Yeah, of course, the social environment, and I mean, the country where I'm living in is now is not my country, in a way is influencing me. I think it is of course part of it, of human beings, to be influenced by the surroundings. So time to time we change our mind, hopefully, to adopt new strategies to survive. So it is not a peculiar behavior of artists, but of everybody. Then yes, of course, living in Italy gave me kind of flavors, and living in Austria is giving me other other flavors. And but I think it is much more consistent the weight. I'm much more influenced by what I'm reading and what I'm listening to. I mean, all the suggestions, the majority of the suggestions comes from the lectures. So it is about the not the place where I'm living in, but it is about the people who are surrounding me. And so, because the other students and all the teachers are from abroad, and so they all take with them a different cultural DNA, and in a way I'm taking from all those people and from different perspectives, and I'm just kind of eating all those new dishes and having a much more, I hope, a much more powerful overview about the world. And then I'm really asking myself during the last days, because this is a personal, really personal issue about the Italian election and all the things that are occurring around the world. So how the system is influencing me, and then how can I influence the system back? And I've been asking myself last days about for which people am I studying and doing my stuff? So am I working against someone or to please someone else? And this is really a political issue. I mean, I really could develop my new works, trying to fight against the parties and the people which I hate. I could, on the other way around, make artworks or creative stuff, as to call, for people which I think that are similar to me, I mean, which belongs to the same, how to say, community. Or the third way could be to do selfish artwork, what actually I've done maybe for the most of my life. But now, maybe thanks to all those new inputs from the outside, I'm really considering all those possibilities, and it's really it becomes an urgence for me to stress out this and to talk by my compositions, my writings, and to make a mark, to say no to someone and to say thank you to someone else. I think this is important. This is important, and also to gather a sense of community between the artists of the same. I mean, we are using the same language. And another thing that I've been hating for a long time is that rivalry between this fighting between artists, especially in the visual arts, especially in between painters or sculptures, and because we all really are speaking the same language, and we could be much more friendly one towards the other, and do together something more. Yeah, but it opens many more considerations anyway.
Okay. This last question is more specific and more related to a point of my research, but if you don't have anything to answer about it, you can be free. In your work, do you see relations between space and narrative? Mm-hmm. And if yes, how do they take shape?
Oh. I love this question, because it's a problematic issue also for me. I mean, I've been looking through all my projects, all the sketches that I've made during the last 5 years, and I've been through all the storyboards and projects recently, and I've been asking help to other artists and to the professors about this point. And it is, I really like narrative art. I find extremely powerful some directors which are able to take you to a deep journey, and they are able to make you laugh and make you cry and make you think about specific issues because by the using narrative arts, using images and sounds, are able to do so. And is it possible to do the same with an interactive artwork? It seems a paradox. It should be impossible, because narrative art is based upon time, of course, and from point A to B to C, the chronological way, and interaction is based upon a never-ending circle, a loop, and the audience is asked to act within the work, and to enter into the work, to break the circle for a while, and then enter into the work, and next one is going to break in on another point, but having the same result in the end. And this is a never-ending process. So an interactive artwork, it has no beginning and no end. So it seems that it's quite impossible to define a process to take the audience and into a journey, a linear journey, and to go through a precise steps to get them where you would like them to be. I don't know how to solve the problem. I also by myself trying to find a solution about this, how to mix the two ways of expressing ideas and feelings. The space, of course, it plays an important role, less in the cinema, I would say, much more in the theater, but anyway the audience is far away from the stage. And interactive art belongs more to the performative scene. So the artist, the work, and the audience are on the same ground, on the same level, on the same field, and the work is within the process, within the object, how to say, and the people. So I've never seen anybody yet solve this issue. Maybe we will be the first, and then we will be really, really famous. And someone is going to talk about us in their interviews.
That's it?
Yeah.
Thank you.
has been a pleasure.